Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Johnny. I just want to read a piece of scripture from Luke 24. And it's a story about the road to Emmaus. And it says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened." This was after Jesus had died. "And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood there, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found that it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going to go farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." I don't know about you, but I always find sections of the Bible like this just weird. And part of it is I just don't know why Jesus keeps himself from being recognized right there at the beginning. And I think it's a really odd concept that God would conceal himself and then reveal himself in quite odd ways. And I'm really starting on a road of discovery with this at the moment. And in it, I think there might be some really interesting questions to ask. And I'm finding that actually I've got very few of the answers to these questions myself as I read. I just get more and more confused. But fortunately, there are people out there who are much cleverer than me and are figuring out what these things are about. And so I've started to look at these experiences of God as a stranger. And I'm starting to realise that you can experience God in new ways. And I think it's because of what I've learned from this passage and others just like it that are coming out. The time that Jesus, I believe, reveals himself in this little bit of scripture is really key. The great reveal, if you like, happens when hospitality is shown to him. A promise of a room for the night, a recognition of his vulnerability if he was to carry on into the dark. It is only when they break bread together that Jesus reveals himself. God was there all along, but he was not seen until the vulnerable was invited in to rest and eat with those men. I'd like to show you a little video. I'll say a little bit more about it afterwards. I'll see if we need to turn the lights off in a sec, but give it a go, Rich.
It was 11 o'clock at night and there's a knock at the door. I'm still living at home. I'm 14 years old and I'm living with mum and dad. Somehow my mum gets to the door first and she opens it to reveal a huge man taking up the entire doorframe. He's got a crazy story to tell. He's just arrived in England from Germany into Gatwick Airport. And as he's passing through customs, he realises he has something to declare. his undying love for the girl that he's been spending the entire journey speaking to. The only problem is, this is the dark ages before Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter. He hasn't even got her phone number. So there he is in Brighton, going door to door. He's intent on visiting 120,000 homes until he finds her. My mum hears this story and decides to welcome him in, makes him a hot mug of cocoa, and then says, "Well, why don't you have a bed for the night?" This is bad news for me, because my bedroom door is opposite the lounge where this strange man is going to be sleeping. So I take every single bit of furniture that I can move, and I build a barricade to keep this guy out of my room. And I'm under the covers, and I've got my little Swiss Army penknife for protection. Somehow I survive the night. I wake up the next morning. I'm still alive. I haven't been murdered in my sleep. As I unbarricade the door, I realise all our worldly possessions are still there, and so is this huge German man. My mum makes him a hearty breakfast and then sends him on his way, on his quest to find the girl of his dreams. I think about that story every time I go to one of my kids' nativity plays. You know how the story goes. It's the middle of the night and they're going door to door, trying to find somewhere for the bedraggled Mary and the sweaty Joseph and sometimes a pantomime donkey to find rest for the night. But they hear it over and over again. There's no room. There's no room at the inn. I like to believe if I was there in Jesus' day, I'd have made sure there was space, not just in my outhouse or the shed or the stable, but room in my home for the Son of God to be born, to be the Saviour of the world. Or maybe when Jesus is a refugee running from Herod and trying to escape into Egypt, I'd have made space in my life for him. Or when he's hungry or thirsty or needing shelter later in his life, I'd have made sure he'd have been okay. I'd have made room. But my track record tells a different story. I'm better at building barricades than I am at welcoming the wanderer. And yet Jesus said, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me." In other words, the test of whether we've understood the Christmas story is whether we'll make room in our lives for the vulnerable. Will we welcome them in and give them the help that they need? Because when we do, we welcome Jesus. Our family never heard from that German man again, but I like to believe there's a German-English couple living happily ever after, thanks to the love of a little Indian woman who offered hospitality to a stranger when he needed it most.
It's a good little video, that, isn't it? Well, many of you know that I've joined as a kind of staff member of the charity of Home for Good, and my mandate essentially is to promote fostering and adoption in the Baines area. But my challenge I've noticed as I come into contact with people is very simple. Are you essentially inviting vulnerable people into your home? Are you opening your home to those who have nowhere to go? Or are you inviting a young person to share your space? Indeed, are we not challenged fundamentally by God in this way with anyone who's vulnerable? The foster door, a child who needs adoption, the refugee, the homeless person, the addict. Now, maybe God is starting to tell us something. That unless we start doing this, maybe we will not see his face that clearly. The same God that was a refugee at his birth, the same God who used countless displaced people to tell his story, including Noah, Ruth, Jacob, Elijah and Jeremiah, amongst many others. Now, Pete's going to come and pray for us now around this subject. But my challenge to you tonight is just this. Seek the face of God when you go into Bath Market and you see that alcoholic stood by the side of the road. Seek the face of God when you see that big issue, man. Seek his face when you've seen the neglected and the abused child, because I think that we will start seeing the face of God inside people just like that. Pete's going to pray for us now. Thanks, Pete.